Let me start with a question. Psalm 17. Will God take care of you? That's my question. So, you know, you're in another country. Maybe the language, you have language problems maybe sometimes. You're far from home. Maybe sometimes friendships are difficult. Maybe you're lonely. You're in a different culture. Maybe there are visa issues sometimes that you struggle with. Will God take care of you in the midst of whatever it is that's going on? Here's what the psalm says. It says, a prayer of David. I'm just going to read the psalm. Hear a just cause, O Lord, attend to my cry. Give ear to my prayer from lips free of deceit. From your presence let my vindication come. Let your eyes behold the right. You have tried my heart. You have visited me by night. You have tested me, and you will find nothing. I have purposed that my mouth will not transgress. With regard to the works of man, by the word of your lips, I have avoided the ways of the violent. My steps have held fast to your paths. My feet have not slipped. I call upon you, for you will answer me, O God. Incline your ear to me. Hear my words. Wondrously show your steadfast love, O Savior of those who seek refuge from their adversaries at your right hand. Keep me as the apple of your eye. Hide me in the shadow of your wings. From the wicked who do me violence, from deadly enemies who surround me. They close their hearts to pity. With their mouths they speak arrogantly. They have now surrounded our steps. They set their eyes to cast us to the ground. He is like a lion eager to tear, as a young lion lurking in ambush. Arise, O Lord, confront him. Subdue him. Deliver my soul from the wicked by your sword, from men by your hand, O Lord, from men of the world whose portion is in this life. You fill their womb with treasure. They are satisfied with children, and they leave their abundance to their infants. As for me, I shall behold your face in righteousness. When I awake, I shall be satisfied with your likeness. Okay, this psalm is by David. It tells you right in the beginning there. And this is a, he tells you it's a prayer. This is a prayer of David. And the message of this prayer is a message we've actually seen before. It's David crying out in distress. So let's kind of run through this real fast. Here's what's going on. First thing that's going on is life is hard. So look at verse 2, and you see that David wants vindication. Vindication means people are accusing me of wrong, and I want you, Lord, to show them they're right, that I'm in the right. That's what vindication means. There's no such thing as vindication unless you're in trouble. And so David's in trouble. Look at verses 9 through 14. He says, hide me in the shadow of your wings from the wicked who do me violence. So catch that. Wicked people are wanting to do violence to David. My deadly enemies who surround me. Catch that word, deadly. This is a life or death situation that David's facing. And then he describes them. They close their hearts to pity. Their mouths, they speak arrogantly. They've surrounded our steps. They set their eyes to cast us to the ground. He's like a lion, eager to tear, lurking in ambush. Arise, Lord, confront them. Subdue him. Deliver my soul from the wicked by your sword. From men by your hand. From men of the world whose portion is in this life. These are wicked men. David describes them as wicked men. He describes them as enemies. He describes them as men of this world. That's what he's facing. And so he's in distress because of these enemies. Now, we've seen that a lot already in many psalms that we've looked at. Expect opposition in the world. It's normal. Expect it. Now, since we've dealt with that issue, let's drive on. We're not going to talk a whole lot more about that issue, other than how it may intersect with some other things we're going to say. If you walk with God, you can approach God in confidence. Now, that's in this psalm. And that's something we've not yet addressed too much as we've been going through the psalms. So, remember, this is a prayer. He tells us that in the beginning. And one of the interesting things of this prayer is that David is appealing to God on the basis of David's integrity. Look at verses 1 through 5. He starts out with, "Hear a just cause." He's describing his own cause as just. David's saying, "I'm just in what I'm asking you, God." And then he says in verse 1, "Give ear to my prayer from lips free of deceit." I'm being open with you. I'm honest with you. I'm not tricking you, God. He's appealing to his own integrity in the prayer itself. "Let my vindication come." That means show them I'm right. That's what vindication means. He says, "Let your eyes behold the right, O God." We have wicked people trying to slander David as well as trying to kill David. And he's saying, "Show them I'm right." Verse 3, he says, "God, you've tried my heart. You visited me, you've tested me, and you will find nothing." He's saying, I'm walking with you, God. He's appealing to this, to God. He's talking to God and saying to God, "I am walking with you, God, and you better be right when you're saying that to God. I mean, God's going to see through it if you're not right." He said, "I have purposed that my mouth will not transgress. I've avoided the ways of the violent. My steps have held fast to your paths. My feet have not slipped." See how many different ways and different times in these first five verses David is appealing to his own integrity before God. Again and again. He does it probably 8 or 9 times in those first five verses. He's appealing to the fact that he's innocent. Guys, holiness needs to be part of our prayer life. Two men can pray the same thing, but the effect of the prayer may be different depending on who the men are. See, a prayer is more than words. Too often, that's what we think a prayer is. A prayer is just, well, it's words. You talk to God and you give him these words. And obviously, that's part of prayer. I mean, you do need to talk to God to be praying. That's true. But there are different qualities of prayer depending on the quality of the man or the woman who's doing the praying. Part of your prayer is you, not just your words. God's interested in hearing from you. He's not just interested in a bunch of words. Let me illustrate. Two men approach a king to make a request. The first man was a man who had faithfully served the king for many years. The second man was a man who basically had disregarded the king for many years. But he was in a difficult situation and he needed the king's help. They both make the same request to the king. which man is most likely to receive the request? Same words, identical words, which man is most likely to receive the request? That's a real question.
The one that served the king for many years.
Yeah. Your prayers entail more than your words. Those requests from those men entailed more than words, right? The king is looking at more than words, isn't he? Well, God does too. God's looking at more than your words when you pray to him. He's looking at your life. He wants to hear from his people. He wants to hear from people who are doing what David is doing. Their steps are walking in God's path. God wants to hear from those people. Have you ever heard someone pray, but you knew the person, and you knew what the person's life was like, and it sort of rendered the prayer meaningless to you because you saw what the person was really like? Okay, let me ask you a question. If you can see that, can't God see that too? David is saying, God, I follow you. That's what he's saying in these first five verses. You've tested me, God. You know my heart. You know I followed you, God. Guys, you can pray that kind of prayer to God if you followed him. Don't pray that prayer to God if you haven't followed him. But if you have, if you're walking with God, you can pray that way. You can come to God confidently. He's saying, hear me, God. You know I have walked in your path. That's verse 5. You know I've walked in your path. And then he says in verse 6, you will answer me. That is faith. You will answer me, God. See, when he says, you will answer me, that's not a request. He's confident. David has confidence before God because David has been living with God. That's why he has confidence and can be that way. You can be confident in God even when you are in distress. Because David is in distress here. And yet he's also confident before God at the same time. But you can be that way only if you live in righteousness. Sin destroys our confidence before God. If there's sin, we need to deal with that first and straighten that up. But once it's straightened up, go to God with confidence. He wants you to. It's like when you honor the king with your life, you have the king's ear. He will honor you by listening. And so David has his confidence before God, and then he cries out to God. So I said, he says, you will answer me, which is not a request, but he does make requests in this psalm. That's what he does in verse 1. He says, hear a just cause, attend to my cry. He's saying, God, hear me. He says pretty much the same thing in verse 6. So 1 through 5, he's talking about his integrity. 1 is, hear my prayer. And then verse 6, after he talks about his integrity, he says again, I call on you. You will answer me. Incline your ear to me. Hear my words. It's really the same thing as verse 1 says. And then he says again, verses 8, he's just describing, he's giving his request. Show me your love, O God. Keep me as the apple of your eye. Hide me in the shadow of your wings. That's a request that he is making to God in the midst of the distress that he's facing with his enemies. Now, we're not going to dwell there either, because we've talked about that a lot in some of the other psalms, because of the similarity to what this psalm is talking about. But you can go to God. You can cry to him when it hurts. But in the end, expect God. Here's what David does. Verses 13, 14, 15. He says, "Arise, O Lord, confront him, subdue him, deliver my soul from the wicked by your sword, from men by your hand, O Lord, men of this world whose portion is in this life. You fill their womb with treasure, they're satisfied with children, they leave their abundance to their infants. But as for me, I will behold your face in righteousness. And when I awake, I will be satisfied with your likeness." Verses 14 and 15 are a contrast. What you see is what God is giving to the wicked in verse 14. And then in verse 15, you see what God is giving to David. And he says, these wicked men, they are men of the world whose portion is in this life. The idea is their happiness comes from this life. Their happiness comes from political power. Their happiness comes from money. Their happiness comes from having a lot of children. Their happiness comes from all of that kind of stuff. That's their happiness. Their portion is in this life, these men of this world. And what do they get? God says, David says in verse 14, "God, you fill their womb with treasure. They're satisfied with children. They leave their abundance to their infants." So these men are living for a lot of kids, wealth, that kind of thing. And you know what? They got it. God gave it to them. That's what they pursued, and that's what they got. And then David says, but as for me, David's getting something different. David's going to behold your face in righteousness and be satisfied with your likeness. In verse 15, he says, as for me, I shall behold your face. The word I is emphatic in the Hebrew. It's as if we were to say, as for me, I shall behold your face. That's what David is trying to communicate there. He's putting emphasis on the word I. I. They get this. I get this. They get earthly stuff. I get God. What David's saying. I will be satisfied with God. They want their satisfaction to come from children and money. But I'm going to see your face. You ever wonder whether Christianity is a little bit crazy sometimes? I mean, for the whole world, really, the whole world. This is not just an American thing. This is an Indonesian thing and a Chinese thing and a Korean thing. And, you know, this is a world thing. This is in Africa and South America and everywhere. The whole world really pursues this life. It really does. It clamors to get rich. But we Christians, we say, you can have your $1 billion. I'll take God. Isn't that a little bit crazy? I mean, when you step back from the perspective of what everybody else pursues and think about that, that's nuts. I mean, when people look at us, that's what they see. Now, to us, it's not nuts. And the thing of it is, we say, you have your $1 billion, I'll take God, and I will be happier than you. Right? Or I think of, if you watch or read the media today, the media is really focused on political power. Everything they print just about deals with politics and political. There's a political reason for something. Even when they talk about churches in a political light. It's because to them, that's what life is about. They think that's what life is about. And they think we think that way too. They think that's where power is. But we think power lies in God's hands, not in the Oval Office. And yet, despite all of that, we believe God is the one who holds the hands and the power, and that we're satisfied with God, not with earth. And yet, despite all of that, we ask God for earthly stuff, right? And David's doing that in this psalm, isn't he? He's asking God for an earthly help, is what he's asking God for. He says to God, keep me as the apple of your eye. Hide me in the shadow of your wings. He's asking God for protection. He's asking, apple of your eye, is like, let me be special to you. And hide me in the shadow of your wings is the picture of a bird with baby birds. And the mama bird keeps the baby birds under the wing to protect them. And David is saying, I'm your baby bird. Hide me, God. Protect me. Keep me safe from these enemies who are wanting to destroy me. It's kind of like this. Here's the picture. This is just what I got. It's imagine a husband and a wife, and they just received news that one of their children has cancer. And so, devastating news. And the wife comes to the husband and says, hold me. Just hold me. That's what David is saying to God here. Hold me, God. That's what God wants you to do with him. Come to him and say, hold me. Put me under your wing. We're going to close by, I'm going to ask you guys just to pair off in twos, and we're going to pray. I began by saying, will God care for you? As you pray, if there's something you want to maybe say to God, hold me, God, there's an issue in your life, do that. You can share that with whoever. You don't have to share anything if you're not comfortable with that. You don't have to pray if you're not comfortable with that. But let's pair off. Pray. You can pray for other stuff too. Just ask whatever you want to ask for, and just go pray. Come back. We'll have lunch.